hey, I'm just like you. I'm not afraid to look stupid. You know, y'all are smarter than I am. But I do love the Lord. You know, he's made the biggest difference in my life than anything. And I know they're not, but just because the Eagles will win today isn't going to change my life at all. I mean, I'm going to feel good for a little bit, but they'll probably lose next year, you know. But it doesn't change me at all. It just makes me feel good, like a drug. Gives me a little bit of a high or something. Unlike Jesus. You know what I mean? Jesus is like a scar. It's just there forever. But it's a good thing. And when I think about it, I get excited. I do. And most of the time I mess up. That's like my key character. Look, watch that guy mess up, you know. I'll sing the wrong line I'll fall off the corner, trip over the rail, you know. That's just who I am. But I've done it so much, I'm just used to it. But I'm not afraid to let somebody know about Jesus. Because he's the best thing ever happened to me. And if they look at me stupid, I'm like, you're the stupid one. You know? But they don't. They don't. Most people, when you tell them something good, they're like, wow, thanks for telling me that. You know? And so don't ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know? It's the power of God and the salvation. And it's a good thing. But I do want to preach this morning. It's my favorite thing to do. And hopefully I don't mess up too much when I preach, right? But it's a Sunday morning, 10 o'clock service. And I know you're fresh and ready to go. So we'll get into the book of Ruth this morning. And I'll try to preach and do less teaching because I like to do both. But the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And when you get there, say amen. And we'll get started. Well, I want to read a few verses here this morning. We'll read the whole chapter probably. And then we'll get into what the Lord has given me this morning. Say amen when you're ready. Amen. All right, Ruth chapter 1, Lord help us this morning. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. I'm going to focus on a few things here this morning. But the thought I want to catch is, when things come to pass, it's the first sentence in the whole paragraph. The Bible starts like this: "Now it came to pass." There's a lot of things in our life, Brother Dale, that are just, it's got to come to pass. And here we are in this setting, in this stage, in the book of Ruth. Israel has come, they haven't had a king yet. They've been delivered out of Egypt. They've gone through the desert. They've crossed over Jordan. They're in the promised land. The land's been divided. And everybody's starting to get into their own groups. Everybody's got their portion of land. And everybody knows who Jehovah is. And everybody's starting to sacrifice and do things. But the problem was, everybody was doing things that were right in their own eyes. So what that meant was, this clique over here was doing a little bit different than this one. And they started to determine and say, "Well, here's what I think it should be. And here's the way I think it should go." So God would see that they would get themselves in trouble, and he'd send them judges, right? So, and then the judges would come, and they would kind of draw them back. And as long as the judge was doing what God said, God's people did good. But all of a sudden, they would start to follow their flesh. They would start to see what was right in their own eyes. And that's dangerous. Anytime we start to think and do things that are right in our own eyes, we find ourselves in trouble. When what we really need to do is stick to the principles, the promises of God, follow his paths, follow his directions, and we'll be okay. But when we start to do that which was right in our own eyes, we start to find ourselves in trouble. So here we are, and if we look at the Bible, in Ruth chapter 1, I want to just focus a little bit here on Naomi's family in hardship. Naomi's family in hardship. So here they are, and the Bible says, "When it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." So you got to remember, everybody's doing that which is right in their own eyes. "That there was a famine in the land," right? "And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah." So here we are in Bethlehem, Judah. These are God's people. "There's a famine in the land. Went to sojourn in the country of Moab." That word "sojourn" means to just temporarily dwell. "In the land of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons." Now, I think it's important to know that here they are. Here's God's people in Bethlehem, Judah. And the Bible said that they saw a famine in the land. Now, something happened with Mahlon, Chilion, and I'm trying to remember the wife's name. Naomi. Say, who said that? Shh. Now, you're right. Elimelech, if I'd have started with him, maybe it would have been fine. But Naomi and her husband and the two sons, right? And somehow, they saw a famine here and said, "Let's go to Moab." Now, the problem is that word Moab kind of carries this thought of his fathers. So it was getting back to, let's go back to where we were. Let's get back. Let's go back to our fathers and where our fathers were. Let's get down into Moab and we'll just sojourn there, because they saw some type of substance. They saw some type of deliverance to the problem where they were. So they go down into Moab with this intent. We're just going to sojourn. We're going to go down. We're going to get what we need, and then we'll get out. See, Bethlehem, Judah was where God's people were. Moab was not God's people. But they saw substance in Moab. So they said, "Let's just go down there. We'll sojourn for a little bit." And then the Bible says, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon, Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there." And here's where the trouble starts. All of a sudden, this family that was in Bethlehem, Judah, just because they saw famine, beheld what? Moab. And said, "Let's just go sojourn." And in one verse, the family went from sojourning to, "Hey, let's just continue here a little bit. I know we were just going to come down and get what we needed and get out," but they continued there, the Bible said. So here's where the hardships of Naomi's family start. And then we look at verse 3 and 5. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. I'm feeling bad for Naomi. Don't you feel bad for her? I mean, they started out famine. They go down to Moab, and here's Elimelech, right, which he was, my God is king. That's what his name means. So that's just giving me a little bit of a testimony. Here's a man who says, my God is king. And all of a sudden, I see him heading down to Moab to get substance. He said, baby, we're just going to dwell there just temporarily. And all of a sudden, they continued there. Now he passed away, and here's poor Naomi, stuck in Moab with her two sons. And the Bible says, look at the cost that she had. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. And the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. The Bible says that they dwelled there. Listen, the progress of this family went from being in Bethlehem, Judah, to observing Moab, to go down there to sojourn. They ended up continuing, staying longer than they wanted to stay. And then here in verse 4, the Bible says that she dwelt there. She dwelt there. So now I'm looking at the whole picture. I'm like, where was the problem? Well, as I read through the chapter, I'm starting to think, I don't think it was Elimelech. I'm starting to wonder if Naomi wasn't the problem in the beginning. So here we have, and I don't know that. You just have to follow me. As we go through the chapter, maybe you'll feel the same way I did. But here's this guy who says, my God is king. That's his name. And somehow he started to observe Moab. I'm wondering if it wasn't Naomi who said, honey, my boys are hungry. Baby, we don't have what we need. But I do notice, I do believe that there's something going on in Moab. If you just take me down there so I could feed my boys, so I could take care of my family. And here's this guy who says, my God is king, says, all right, let's go. But we're just going to sojourn. We're just going to get what we need. Influenced by his wife. And the reason I feel that way is this. There was a continuing there, but there was a cost. If they were going down there to look for substance, the one thing that would provide for her was her husband. That was her job. That was his job, to provide for his family. There was a cost. But look at the commitment in verse 4. The Bible said that they dwelled there. Listen, you know what that meant? They made that home. So much so that her sons took of them wives of Moab. You know what I mean? They became part of the Moabites. Almost so that if somebody were to walk through the town and see Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion and Ruth and the other one, that they would say, hey, look, there's Moabites. That wasn't their intent. See, their intent was to just get out of a little bit of trouble, get down to Moab, get what we need, get out. And it became continuous. And here's why I think it's part of the trouble. Had it been, I'm having a hard time remembering, Elimelech's decision, and Naomi was against it. When Elimelech had died, she'd have probably said, let's get out of this place. I don't know why he brought us here. But I got to get my boys out of this hellhole. I got to get my boys out of this worldly place. I got to get my boys back to their people. Listen, they're not Moabites. They're from Bethlehem, Judah. I got to get them out of here. But the Bible said that she dwelled there 10 years. 10 years she committed herself to the Moabites. So look at this. As we go down through here, look at her condition. And this is what caused me to believe that it was possibly Naomi. In verse 6, we'll pick up there. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws. No, wait. We'll pick up in verse 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. She's lost everything. Once the husband died, the next two in line to take care of her would have been her sons. She has nobody to provide for her. And the whole reason they went down to Moab was provision, right? So then we get in verse 7. Wherefore, she went forth. Hold on, let me get back to verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-laws. Why? That she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. Now listen. Listen to what she said. Listen to her condition. And this is where I believe she was full of guilt. I believe depression had set into her heart. I believe that she was broken because as she observed the condition of her family, there's a possibility that she was the one that implanted into the heart of her husband, get me out of here and get me down there for my family. Listen to what she says. She says, wherefore she went out of that place where she was, her and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Oh, that's such a nice lady. She's setting free the two daughter-in-laws. Watch. This is Bethlehem Judah lady. This is the one that feared God. This is the one who, my God is king. That was her husband. Listen to what she says. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And then, here's what she says. They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Now who are her people? God's people. Listen to what she says. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Why are you going with me? I don't have anything. Look at me. My life's a mess. I lost my husband. I lost my sons. I have you two. Surely I'm not going to drag you into my despair, into my troubles, into my turmoils. I'm setting you free. Listen, start over. Do something different. But you don't want to be where I am. And she said, Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb? Woe is me. That they may be your husbands. Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, she had no hope. If I should say I have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Why in the world would Naomi think that God's hand was against her? What did she do? What choice did she make? Was she following her husband? Listen, did she follow her sons? I'm not gonna say that that's exactly what happened, but I'm wondering why all of a sudden, when the husband's gone and the two sons are gone and their position to her and where she's at in her life, that all of a sudden she said, God's against me. My life's a wreck and it's his fault. Why is he so against me? What have I done? And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods. You know what Ruth was telling them, or Naomi was telling them? Said, Ruth, you and Orpah, go back to your gods. Because mine's not being good to me. Go back to your people. Go back to your gods. What type of believer, knowing the Jehovah, knowing the God, the King of Kings, my God is King, who in their right mind would tell somebody, don't come into Charlestown Baptist Church. God's dealing wickedly with me. You don't want to be in this place. Go down there into the Buddhist temple. Maybe you'll get some help. That's just, bro, something's wrong in her heart. There's something not right that she would tell her two daughter-in-laws that she supposedly loved, that she was kissing, that she was weeping with, that she would say, return unto thy gods. Something's wrong in her heart, in her mind. And then she'd say this, return thou after thy sister-in-law, both of them. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following thee. You know what she was saying? She was begging her. Begging her. It wasn't just an idea, hey, maybe you want to leave, just go back. No, she was trying to do everything she could to get them to leave. So there was this condition, I believe, that she was full of guilt and depressed. But look at this. Look at Naomi's focus of hope just for a minute. And so many of us have been there where we've observed, where we've made bad choices, and you know, we've taken situations around us, and instead of focusing on what God can do and maybe where we're at, that we see something on the far off. We see a Moab in our life and we say, you know what? Looks like there's something down there. Maybe I can get some help. Maybe there's hope for my family. You know what? I'm not putting me first, but it's those around me. I'm not sure that I can wait on God, because as I observe Bethlehem, Judah, it appears to be that there's a famine in the land right here. I don't know if I can hang out in Charlestown that long. It just seems like there's a famine in the church. It seems like God's not provided. It seems like what I need is not here in the place. But I have observed that down there, baby, maybe we need to get out of that place. And the man of God, the leader of the home, he's saying, I don't know, the Lord's not telling me to leave the church. I don't know, the Lord's not telling me to quit studying my Bible. I'm not ready to quit on God, baby. And she says, listen, my boys need, my children need, our family needs it. I'm observing, look, that place down there, it looks good. Let's just go for a little bit. Listen, we'll try it out. We'll just go see. But I'm not wanting to leave Charlestown. I'm not wanting to leave God. I'm not wanting to leave walking with God. But listen, maybe we'll miss church for a little bit and we'll go to the races. We'll get some family time. You know what I'm saying? We'll just put church on hold for a little bit. We're not going to walk away from God. We're not going to walk away from Bethlehem, Judah. We're just going to sojourn in this place. Get a little bit of what we need. Get some family time. Restore ourselves. Next thing you know, you continue there. Next thing you know, it becomes a dwelling place. And you no longer have any part with Charlestown. You have no longer part with God and God's people. And it just becomes a place that you look back to and say, I remember when we were there. Right? But look at this. Look at her focus of hope. When we get back to verse 6, just look at this. And you can see her condition. You can see how she was pushing her daughter-in-laws away and just didn't want to have anything to do with them. And I do. I believe that she was battling depression. I believe that she was battling disappointment. And probably because of the decisions that she had pushed her husband into. If nothing else, she supported him going there. Watch this. Look at the hope in the returning. Verse 6. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab. I think that when she did that, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people. There was a point where she finally said, of everything I heard, there's hope somewhere. And she trusted in the hope enough that she arose. You know what we got to do? We can't just sit back and hear about things going on. We can't just sit idly by when things have fallen apart. When we're so depressed, when depression has affected us to a point that it's making decisions in our life, and we hear of good things or we see good things, that we just sit back and say, I don't know. Listen, even Naomi reached a point where she said, see what I mean? I tripped over my own feet. Almost went down. Nobody caught that, right? Even she, it's messed up, right? But even she found hope and said, There came a point when she rose off of her feet. So her intent was, you know what? I'm going back because I heard something. Look, there was hope in returning. There was hope in the report. The Bible says at the end of the verse there, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people. If you pay attention to the wording, just put that together. This woman that has walked away from God, whose life has fallen apart, has battled depression and guilt and all those things, while she was in the place that caused all the trouble, she didn't leave the place. She arose, but before she arose, she had heard this where she was. That there was bread. That there was substance where she had come from. Sometimes it's just the message that we hear that gives us the hope we need to arise. It was the place she had come from that had given her the hope. There was hope in the report. And I think that that's important, because sometimes we feel like we've got to get out of the place before we can find any hope. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how far you've left. I don't know what place you've went to. But wherever you're at right now is where you're going to hear your message of hope. And you're going to say, you know what? There is hope. Maybe I should get up. Maybe I should arise. There's hope in returning. There's hope in the report. Look, there's hope in remembering. Here's what she remembered. Then she arose with her daughters-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. His people. You know what she heard? While she was in Moab and all those things were going on, the Bethlehem Judah people up there, them Bethlehemites, they got something. They're feasting. Everything they need, they're getting substance. And you know what she said? I'm not a Moabite.
I'm a Bethlehemite. They're my people. God's visiting his people. I'm one of his people. What am I doing down here? I'm not a Moabite. Listen, and if God's visiting his people, if I go back up there, you know, God will visit me too. And I'm thinking, we got to remember who we are. You know, we get in the world, we get into places that we're not supposed to be because of circumstances, choices we made. And we forget that, hey, listen, I am God's child. I've been bought with a price. I've been redeemed. I'm saved, washed in the blood. I'm one of his children. I'm not just a friend. I'm more than a friend of God. I'm his child. And if you've ever had a child, it doesn't matter where they go, what they do. You're always looking for the return. You're always looking to make sure that they have what they need. You're always looking to visit your children. And for her to be in that place, for her to be in Moab, and to hear that God's visiting his people, that was her hope. I'm one of his people. If she wasn't from Bethlehem, right? And she was in Moab going through trouble, and she heard God would visit in his people. You know what she'd say? I wish I was one of his people. Maybe God would visit me. But the fact that she was one of those people and is one of those people, you know what she said? He'll visit me too. I just got to get back. That's what gave her hope. I believe that's why she arose. And she said, I got to get back here. That's the only hope I have, is if I could get back to Bethlehem, Judah. There was hope in a return. Look, there was hope in restoration. The Bible said he was giving them bread. See, when she left, she observed the famine in the land. She had nothing. But to give them bread means that they would return it, that they would start to gain back. She'd say, you know what? If I could get back there, I probably wouldn't be hungry like that. I felt like I was hungry up there. I felt like I didn't have what I needed, but it seems like that there's substance there. And she didn't know that. She didn't know. It was just something she had heard. You know what I mean? She wasn't there eating of the bread. She wasn't there enjoying the songs and the dancing and the rejoicing and all the things that the Bethlehem Judah people were going through. She had just heard of it. There was a longing in her heart to say, oh man, if I could just get back there. How many times have we been away from the house of God or God's people? And we've gotten so far and we said, you know what? I heard that God's visiting his people over there at Charlestown. Man, I heard he's working a good work. People are getting saved. Families are doing good. Man, I've got so far away from God, but I'm down here in a place I shouldn't be, but I got hope. I'm arising, man. I think I'm going to get back. Man, if I could just get up there and get some of that substance, maybe I could be restored. Maybe I could be like, though, maybe they would let me teach Sunday school again. Maybe they would let me preach again. Hey, maybe I could lead to singing again. Maybe I could work on that bus or in that, you know, that need department there where they're supplying needs for people in the closet. And I don't know what it is, but the hope is that if I could get back, maybe I could be restored. There's hope and restoration. But watch this. Look at Naomi's follower that helps. We had Naomi's family in hardship, how that they had continued in a place. The cost was death of all her providers, her ideas of success and her plans that she had when they got down to Moab there, and how things fell apart and they got committed into dwelling permanently there. And the condition was, it wrecked her life and it wrecked her spirit. And then all of a sudden she got hope. And if she could just return and get back and be restored and just from remembering who she was. But all of a sudden, I'm wondering how hard that could really be. I pick up there in verse 16. Look at the one that followed. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Quit arguing with me. Quit arguing with me. Or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Here's what I think was fixing to happen. This is how amazing God is. I believe that as Naomi was over here in this Moab place, wherever she was in Moab, and as she beheld, she got up, she wanted to go. And many of us have been here and said, my desire is to get back here. I don't know if I can make that. And I'm really afraid that when I get there, I'm going to stop at the door and not walk in. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of things that might be said. I'm afraid of circumstances. I don't know how the people are going to receive me. Look, they saw me one way when I left. But when I come back, preacher, are they going to see me the same way? I'm not sure about that. And I know I'm up, and I know I arose, and my intentions are to head back. I don't think I can make that. But God, in his amazing abilities, gave her Ruth. Ruth said, "Entreat me not. Quit arguing with me, Naomi." She said, "I'm going to follow you. Where thou diest, will I die." Listen, it's one thing to say, "Hey, I'll walk with you the first leg, but the last three, you're on your own." But to commit to somebody, to endure to the end. You know what she was saying? "Mama, we'll get back. I don't know. I've never been to Bethlehem, Judah." She's probably heard her say some things. And the fact that she wants to get back because she's heard God's visiting his people said, "Listen, let me tell you. I know I've been in Moab for a while, but let me tell you how it was when I was there. Oh, God's spirit is sweet. Oh, we used to sing, and God's people, you know, we weren't like the Moabites, man. We used to do it this way, and we used to do it that way, and man, it was such good times, and man, I never felt like I have when I was in Bethlehem, Judah, and, you know, the way I'm feeling now, and I could just see Ruth saying, 'Come on, Mom, I'll go with you. I'll help you. That place sounds so good. Let's just go. I don't think I can make it. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you all the way. Mom, I'm going to go with you to death. If it costs us our life getting there, getting all the way back, I'll die with you. Don't be afraid. Let's go.'" I can't understand why Ruth, this Moabite woman, would have that spirit about her. Isn't that something, how God just so happened to work Naomi and Ruth together? You know, maybe if the other one was there, maybe just she would have been the one that would have been like, "Oh, I can't make it. I'm tired. I'm thirsty. Let's go back. Let's go back." Maybe there's a reason God divided them like that. But for whatever reason, for Ruth and Naomi to be together, she followed along. But look in verse 18. "When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her." Here's what happened. Naomi says, "I'm going back." And Ruth says, "I'm going with you." But her heart wasn't really ready to commit to the whole going back. And Naomi starts arguing with her, saying, "Nah, you ain't going," because there was something inside that said, "I'm not going to go all the way. I want the substance, but I don't want to have to go through the journey. I don't want to have to face what I'm going to have to face when I get back there." And the more that Ruth persisted, the more that Naomi started to fight her. But she didn't know that she had a fight on her hands. And old Ruth starts saying, "No, I'm going." And Naomi's like, "No, you're not. You know, you no, don't just go back. I'm going with you, Mama." "No, you're not." Right? So much so that she was steadfastly minded to go. She's like, "Whatever, let's go." Yeah, not only was she following her, but she was faithful. She persisted. I think it's amazing that God gave her a follower to help her along. Look at this. Look at verse 19. "So they two went until they came to Bethlehem." Pretty cool. They made the trip. So we're at the door. We're in the parking lot, right? God gave her somebody to get her all the way back there. She's out of that God-forsaken place of Moab, right? And it came to pass. Look at how they finished. "Until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, 'Is this Naomi?'" That word Naomi means, her name means "my delight." You know what her testimony was when she left Bethlehem, Judah? She was so delightful. She was good to be around. She was the one that when Naomi walked into the church, everybody loved her. She was the one that when she came to the festivals and stuff that, oh, she was so good to be around and everybody loved her. So when she came back to the town, everybody's like, "Look, is that Naomi? Is that my delight? Oh, look who's back." And then they'd say, and she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." You know what Mara means? Sad and bitter. You answer this question for me. Why do you think she felt that God dealt with her bitterly? If it was her husband, Elimelech, that had made all those decisions, God wouldn't have dealt with her the way that he did. Listen, it's the choices that we make that causes God to deal with us the way that he does. Listen, if you want to walk with God and observe his statutes and his laws and his principles and apply them to your life and live for him, do you think God's going to bring retribution into your life and judge you and try to bring you back? No, you're pleasing God. But listen, when you step away from God and you're his and he's loving you and he's trying to draw you back and he's doing the things he can to get you back into the fold, listen, that's not God's choices, it's your choices. And even if Elimelech was the one, even if he was the one that decided to go there, she was the one that chose to continue there. And there she thought that, hey, it's because of my choices that God hath dealt bitterly with me. Don't call me Naomi, my delight, but call me Mara, for I'm bitter. God has dealt bitterly with me. Listen to what she says. This is amazing. In verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. You say, preacher, what's the significance of that? Well, this right here. Go back to verse 1. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Did you see that? There was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. But when it's all said and done, and she looked at the cost of what had cost her in her life while she continued to dwell, the Bible said, I left full. She left a land of famine and realized I had everything I needed the whole time. I left full, but when I went down, when I observed what Moab had to offer, and listen, when she left, Moab was never in a famine. Moab never complained about not having anything that they needed. She just found out that what she needed wasn't in Moab. What she needed was back there in Bethlehem, Judah. And that's why she said, when I left full, and I came back empty. Listen, we'll leave the places where God says that we're supposed to be because in our observation, it doesn't have what we're looking for. And we'll head into the world and we'll get into places and it'll cost us things that are dear to us. The very things that we're looking for, God will remove from our life till we realize where we need to be is back there in Bethlehem, Judah. He said this. I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. I'm going to show you two things because we're done. Naomi had a follower that helps. She followed her all the way to the end. She was faithful to her, and she finished the course with her. You know what Ruth means? Friend. Friend. Do you know what God gave Naomi while she was in Moab to get her back all the way to Bethlehem, Judah? A friend. God knows what we need. I believe with all my heart, Brother Dale, that Naomi's intentions were good when she arose, that she wanted to get back to Bethlehem, Judah. But along the path, she would probably find discouragement. She'd probably be broken and not be able to make it. But God gave her a friend to say, hey, we're going to go. We can do this. We can do it. And then when she got all the way to Bethlehem, Judah, exactly what she thought was going to happen happened. They greeted her. But you know how they greeted her? They didn't say, look, it's Mara. They said, it's Naomi. Look, our delight's back. Naomi didn't see it that way. Naomi said, I'm just bitter. I've been broken. It's been a long journey. I've lost my husbands. I've lost my sons. I lost a daughter-in-law. God gave me a good friend. And I'm back. Don't call me Naomi. But they didn't call her Mara. You know what God's people did? Oh, they delighted in her. She was back. It didn't matter. She had to get back to the things that God had provisioned. And here's what's the cool story. You know what it said there at the very end of that chapter? In the beginning of barley harvest. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading into my Bible a little bit. Maybe I'm looking for things that really aren't there. I don't know. Maybe I see God as being so amazing that I just picture it this way. And if I'm wrong, leave me alone because I think it's a cool picture. You know, when she got to the end, it was the beginning of barley harvest. She didn't have to say, man, it's at the end. I better hurry up and gather my needs because I'm going to be in a famine. By the time she got back, God put it in there. It's the beginning of barley harvest. Relax. We have everything you need. Just be our delight. I don't know why we end up in Moab. I don't know why we look around and we think that we're in a famine in God's house when we observe the things of the world and it looks like everything that they have is what we need for our families when that's really not the case. If we would just stop and observe, you know, we're gonna leave full when we walk away from God. But when we come back, we'll be empty. And if you're empty, just come back. We're not calling you Mar. You're our Naomi. So let me encourage you this morning. Just be careful. Be careful about what we look at. That happened to Abraham. It happened a lot. So many times we observe things with our eye, and it's just not right. But come on back to Bethlehem, Judah. What was Bethlehem, Judah? I forget what those words mean. Let me just look here. Oh. Bethlehem, Judah. Bread. Bethlehem meant bread. And Judah meant praise. You want to get back where the substance is and where you can worship again. Amen. Father, we thank you for Ruth chapter 1. Lord, and for the testimony that you've given us with her. Lord, just work in our hearts. Bless us this morning. Bless Brother Dale as he preaches from the Word of God and the singers as they sing. Lord, we love you and thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.